Our scripture reading tonight is from the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, and the chapter 3. There should be, or there may be, a Bible in front of you, in the pew in front, hopefully, that you can join along with us. But if not, then listen to the words of God as we read them together. They will be, I'm sure, familiar words to you as we come to them tonight. John chapter 3. The first seven verses, and then moving on down to read another few verses in this chapter. John chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then moving down to verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We'll end at verse number 18. And we pray God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts tonight. Verse number 16, perhaps one of the most familiar verses in all of the word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can we just bow our heads in another word of prayer before we come to the word of God for tonight? Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we want to thank thee for help already given in this meeting tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for help given to each one who has taken part already. We thank thee, Lord, for a real sense of thy presence here. And, O God, we pray that as we come now to the concluding part of the service tonight, we ask, O God, that as we look into thy precious word, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us that help that we need. We pray, O God, that you'll stand with us. We ask, O God, that you'll give us help in the preaching and give us help in the hearing of thy precious truth this night. Speak to each and to every heart, O God, we pray. Answer prayer for us. Continue on with us now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Today we pause to remember those brave men and women of our armed forces in years gone by, in the two world wars and in wars since, and especially so in our security forces and civilian life during the years of conflict here in our own local province. For those who stood valiant and strong in the face of the onslaught from Republican terrorists, these were brave men and women, from all types of background and upbringing, yet men and women who were loyal and faithful to their land and to their nation. Our history books are full of accounts of many tremendous acts of bravery, heroism and love, as many placed themselves at the forefront of the various battles in which they were engaged as they attempted to overcome the enemy. They sacrificed so much, and many paid with their own lives. Many others today bear the marks of war and conflict, as they defended and as they sought to protect our nation. Their sacrifice was one of duty to their country. And we remember them today, and we honor their memory, and we thank God for their devotion to the call of service. They also sacrificed out of love. They loved their country, they loved their nation. They loved the service that they were involved in. And they loved their fellow countrymen. Their sacrifice was out of love. John 3:16 lays before us another sacrifice based on love. John 3:16 brings before us another who gave his life for the life of others. John 3:16 tells us of one who laid down his life that others might go free. John 3:16 tells us of one who gave his all that we tonight might have all. Because you see, John chapter 3 in the verse 16 tonight brings us to the cross of Calvary. It brings us to a place of great shame and sorrow, a place of agony. But thank God it also brings us to a place of great victory. John 3:16, this most familiar of all verses. For God so loved. This verse describes for us tonight love's greatest sacrifice. And as we consider this verse very simply and plainly tonight, there are some things that we want to consider about this greatest sacrifice of love. First of all, I want you to see that it is a sovereign love. It is a sovereign love. This love in view here in verse number 16, and indeed the love that is in view right throughout the scriptures of truth and the word of God, is the sovereign love of our sovereign God. This is God's love. One of the most remarkable characteristics of God is that God is love. Not that just a mere fleeting emotion that he feels and then it passes. Not a love that is fleeting or a love that is temporary, but by his very nature tonight, God is love. And as we consider the sovereign love of our sovereign God, we want to notice some aspects about this love which is sovereign. This love is unsurpassed. You notice the words there in verse 16, for God so loved. It's a love which is unsurpassed. It's a love which is unequaled. You see, tonight, the love of God, the sovereign love of God, is something which is unequaled in this world. I know that many during the conflicts in our land and nation and in foreign lands as well, the many wars in which many of our forefathers fought and battled in, there were many examples of love, many demonstrations of bravery, many great heroes who in different ways showed exceptional love for their fellow soldiers and their fellow countrymen. In our province as well, during the years of terrible conflict, there were many shining examples of men and women in our security forces and in civilian life who showed great love in the line of duty by doing acts of bravery and devotion to others that went beyond the call of duty. There were and are many great examples of love during the times of war and conflict. But there is no love to compare to the love of our God. His love is not the same as human love. His love goes beyond the realms of human love. God so loved. Writing to the church at Ephesus, the Apostle Paul talks about the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of love. The breadth, the length, the height, the depth of love. Because you see, tonight the love of God is unsurpassed. His love is unequaled. There is no human love to compare to it. Many talk of love today, but our love can never compare to God's love. It is unsurpassed. But his love is also undeserving. You notice what verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world." The recipients of the love of God are the residents of this world, you and I. And how are we described in the Bible? How are we described in the Word of God? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, "For all," that includes you and me, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible describes us all as being sinners in the sight of a holy God. Sinners who hated God, sinners who are at war with God, sinners who rebel and reject God. We're all born in sin. There is none righteous. No, not one. And you see, tonight there is none deserving of the love of God. There is nothing in us, folks, that God would love us. There is nothing in us because of our sinful nature that would make God love us. There is nothing that would endear us to the love of God. Isn't it true that we love people who love us back? It's very hard to love people who hate you and who have nothing but enmity and hatred towards you. But folks, that's exactly the measure of the love of God for sinners. God commendeth, or God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait. He didn't wait for us to turn over a new leaf or try to live a better life. But in our sin, in our rejection, in our rebellion, God loved us. We are undeserving of that love. We can do nothing to merit it. We can do nothing to merit the favor of God in our lives. We are sinners by nature, and the only thing that we deserve because of our sinful nature is the wrath of God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, undeserving sinners like you and I can be the recipients of God's love. I wonder if you ever stopped to think, in all of our remembrance today, have you paused to think of how God loved this world of sinners lost? That in our rebellion, that in our rejection, in our self-righteousness, have you ever stopped to think about the love of God and consider how undeserving we are of that love? We couldn't do anything to make God love us. Though I know that people will try to make others love them by doing things to them. They'll shower their affection on them, try to gain their love. They'll go out of their way to do some great task in order to gain their love. And when it comes to the love of God, people will try to do good works, try to live a good life in order to win the affection of God, and they think by their own efforts that they will win God, and somehow they can be better in the eyes of God, but we can do nothing. We can do nothing to bring ourselves to God. It's a sovereign love. But I want you to see as well here in verse 16 that it's not only a sovereign love, but it is a sacrificial love. For God so loved that he gave. God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, God didn't only declare his love, he also demonstrated his love by giving us his Son. By giving us the Lord Jesus Christ to be our Savior, to die on the cross of Calvary. He sacrificed his only Son for sinners such as you and I. He gave his only Son on the cross. He could give no greater sacrifice. He gave the greatest sacrifice when he gave his only Son. You see, the justice of God demanded a punishment for our sin. If we were ever going to be saved from sin, if we were ever going to escape the wrath and the condemnation of our sin, which would end in eternal damnation in hell forevermore, if we're ever going to be in heaven, then our sin needed to be dealt with. And the only way that sin could be dealt with, the only way that we could be saved from sin, is not through ourselves, it's not through our church, it's only through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross when he gave his life and he shed his precious blood. We read in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, this man, speaking of Christ, this man, when he had made one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He made one sacrifice for sin forever. He was the sacrifice. He was the only sacrifice. He didn't have to make another sacrifice, because there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, because Christ was the sacrifice. Many people believe that you still need to make sacrifices for sin. The Church of Rome today will tell us that we continually need to offer sacrifices for sin, but those things can never save our soul. They can do nothing to make us right with God. It's only through the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross that any man, woman, young person, older person can be saved. The greatest sacrifice of love. Love's greatest sacrifice is seen at the cross of Calvary. When God gave his Son that we sinners might be saved. As we think of this sacrificial love, I want you to think with me of the pain of it. The pain of this sacrifice. Got to remember that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he left all the glory and the splendor and the majesty of heaven. And in that, his coming into this world, and in a few weeks' time, we will remember that time when Christ came into this world. That involved pain, that involved humiliation. You know, the greatest pain is seen at the cross. The peak of Christ's sufferings climaxed at the cross. He offered his life. Those Roman soldiers which beat him, those soldiers which scourged him with whips, they who spat upon him, they who mocked him, they who placed that crown of thorns upon his lovely brow, they who put that spear into his side. You see, folks, tonight Calvary was a place of unimaginable suffering. Calvary was a place of unparalleled suffering. Calvary was a place where no man ever suffered such agony. The brutality of man, the hatred of man, the cruelty of man, the wickedness of man, you see it all at the cross. Man whom he had created, man whom God had sustained, man whom God had brought into this world, man whom God had formed in his own image, these same people inflicted pain on the lovely Son of God as he died a sacrifice for our sin. And then when man had done his worst, God the Father stepped in and he darkened this entire world in blackness. The world was veiled in blackness as God the Father laid our sin upon his Son on the cross. And all the pain inflicted upon him by mortal man paled into insignificance when Christ bore our sins as he was wounded, as he was bruised, as Christ paid the price and the penalty for our sin. That involves such pain of soul that we'll never be able to imagine. In Isaiah 53, that great chapter speaking prophetically of the cross, and the prophet speaking many, many years before Christ actually died on the cross, he made some very profound statements about the sufferings of Christ. And after detailing all the different sufferings that Christ would have to endure, he makes that most remarkable of statements in the whole of Scripture. In Isaiah 53 and verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. What pain, what suffering, as our sins were laid on the Son of God. Why? Why did it please the Lord to bruise him? Why did it please God the Father to give his Son sacrifice for our sin? Because it was the only way. It was the only way that we could be saved. Because there is the pain of the sacrifice, but there is also the purpose. You see, folks, tonight Christ died for a purpose. He didn't die in vain. Christ died, the sacrificial love of God in sending his Son to the cross was to redeem sinners, to save sinners like you and I from sin. There was no other way of salvation, and there is no other way of salvation. You can never be saved but through Jesus Christ. You can't work your way to heaven by your own good works and your own good living and your upright life. Those will never be enough to gain you access and entrance into heaven. You'll only be saved from the condemnation and the wrath of sin through Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you tonight about my church. I'm not telling you tonight that this church can save you because it can't. I'm not telling you tonight about any individual or any person tonight. I'm telling you tonight about Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners. There was no other way, the hymn writer said. A God of love could find to reconcile the world and save a lost mankind. It took the death of his own Son upon the tree. There was no other way but Calvary. And there is still no other way but Calvary. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He came into this world. He died on the cross. He offered himself a sacrifice for sin that you and I might be saved. The purpose of the sacrifice of all those soldiers who gave their life on the battlefields of war in foreign lands and in the recent conflicts as well. The purpose of their sacrifice was to maintain and to protect our freedoms and our liberties. It was to keep our lands and our lives free from tyranny and oppression. And you see, God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, a sacrifice for our sin that we might be free from the tyranny and the bondage of sin. That's the wonderful effect of the gospel tonight. It has the power to set the captive free. The blood of Jesus Christ tonight has the power to cleanse away your sin. Gives you liberty, it gives you life. Oh, tonight don't hold on to your sin. Tonight don't live your life anymore in sin. Rather, tonight come to Jesus Christ who can set you free from your sin and experience that liberating power that is to be found in him. The peace, the contentment, the joy, all found in Christ. It's a sovereign love. It's a sacrificial love. It's also a saving love. Because I want to take that thought just a little further. Because the verse 16 goes on to say, whosoever believeth in him, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It's a love which saves the believing sinner from perishing, from dying in their sin and going to a lost sinner's hell. You see, his love tonight is a saving love. Whosoever believeth in him. That's the wonderful truth of the gospel tonight. It doesn't matter who we are or what we are. It doesn't matter the life we've lived. It doesn't matter tonight how far gone in sin you may have went. And perhaps tonight sin has wrecked and ruined your life and you've tried many things. You have tried many different ways, but tonight your life is in a real mess. And tonight you've been trying to sort it out yourself. You've been trying to put things right in your life, but sin has got such a grip on your life, it's not working. Thank God tonight it doesn't matter how you've lived. It doesn't matter tonight, maybe you think you can't be saved, you're too bad to be saved. Or maybe you think tonight you don't need to be saved. Well, we read in the opening verses of John chapter 3 about a religious sinner. We read of a man named Nicodemus. A man who knew the law of God inside out. A man who taught the law of God. And yet the Lord said to him, ye must be born again. An upright man, a good man. Yet the Lord said to him, you must be saved. What's involved in a person's salvation? Well, first of all, there must be repentance. That means to realize that you are a sinner and to turn away from that sin. And then there is believing. Verse 16, whosoever believeth. What does that mean? It means to cast your all on Christ for salvation. It means to call upon Him for salvation. Whosoever, whoever you are, wherever you've come from tonight, saving faith in Christ alone can save you from sin. Let me ask you tonight, what are you depending on? What are you depending on tonight to save you? Is it your upbringing? Is it your loyalty? Is it your church? Tonight, none but Christ can save your soul. There needs to be a turning from sin, and there needs to be saving faith exercised in Jesus Christ. That's how you can experience the love of God for yourself tonight. By trusting in Him alone. Trusting in His finished work. You know, tonight you can make this a night to remember. You can make this a night that you will never forget. If this night you come and give your heart and life to Jesus Christ in salvation. Tonight you need to turn from your sin. Tonight you need to trust Him for salvation. It's a sovereign love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a saving love. But finally, as we close tonight, it is also a satisfying love. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is a life that satisfies. If you're here tonight without Jesus Christ and you're not saved and you don't know Him as your Savior, you have a life that is not satisfying. Or maybe you think tonight, yeah, life's grand, life's good. But then when the troubles come and the difficulties arise and your world is turned upside down, where do you go? What do you do? Whenever you've got Christ in your heart, it doesn't matter what pathway of life you're called to walk down, you can still know His peace. Tonight you're searching for peace. Tonight you're searching for contentment in this world. You're longing for something more. You believe there's something more that as yet you haven't yet found. Well, tonight you'll find it in Christ. And you get saved. You turn your life over to Him tonight. Your life will be satisfied. It's a satisfaction that lasts. It's a satisfaction that is permanent. Even though the hard times come, Christ satisfies through and through. And tonight, dear friend, I recommend my Savior to you. He is not a disappointment. The life He gives is eternal life. A life of satisfaction in this life and a life of satisfaction to come in the life that is to come. Because if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've been saved, then you will live in heaven forevermore with Christ. But be warned tonight. be warned, even as we read in our last verse in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already this night, because of your sin, you're under the condemnation and the wrath of God. And if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't turn from your sin, that will ultimately lead you to a lost eternity in hell. But thank God tonight you can turn your life around if you give your heart and life to Christ. He says, I am come. I am come, why? That ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. You see, tonight Jesus Christ gives abundant life. He gives a life of satisfaction. He gives a life of real joy, a life of lasting happiness. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're saved tonight, you'll never perish. You'll have everlasting life. Tonight Christ offers real life. Tonight he offers life with meaning and life with purpose. A life that satisfies through and through. There are many decisions in life I'm sure we have regretted. There are many things we've done in life, many things we've said in life, and I'm sure we wish we could turn the clock back and do it all over again. And I can say honestly to you tonight, I have never regretted the day I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. He has never let me down. He has never disappointed. And life, yes, when it gets hard, as hard it will get. And when the pathway gets lonely and difficult, yet with Christ in our hearts, we will live a life that is full of satisfaction, peace. You can know tonight true peace, real peace, by coming to the Prince of Peace, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if tonight finds you in this meeting far from God, if tonight finds you here living your life without Jesus Christ, then tonight come and be saved. Come tonight and trust Jesus Christ. Believe on him. He'll turn your life around. He'll transform you. He'll give you real life. A life that satisfies. God's love, it's a sovereign love. Love's greatest sacrifice, it's a sacrificial love. It's a love which saves. It's a love that satisfies. Come. Come tonight and experience this love for yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whatever you do tonight, don't perish. Whatever you do tonight, don't leave this meeting without Jesus Christ and go out into the darkness of this night and perhaps be lost for all eternity. Rather, tonight come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come. He that believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God help you so to come for his name's sake. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, tonight we want to thank thee for thy word. We praise thee, Lord, that tonight, that as we have had cause this day to remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave their all, Lord, we thank thee tonight that we've been brought to the cross. We praise thee, Lord, that tonight we've been brought to see love's greatest sacrifice. That God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Lord, if there's any in this meeting tonight, and they've never trusted thee for salvation, they've never come to Jesus Christ and been saved, we pray, Lord, that this night, this will be the greatest night in their life, and they will come and experience that love for themselves. Lord, we pray that you'll continue on with us, bless us, and Lord, may thy voice speak on, now where the voice of man may be silent. Answer prayer and continue with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll turn to our order of service again, and we'll sing the closing.